care. Appreciate that. Okay. You know what? I know you do this for every speaker and you don't really mean it, okay? All right, no. Thank you, God bless you. Appreciate the fact that this place is still nutty. All right, can you hear me okay? Can you hear me? Testing 1, 2, 3, okay, good. Well, I'm glad that my girlfriend could be with me. I introduce her as my girlfriend. You know, it's good to have your wife as your girlfriend. Remember that, okay? She's been my girlfriend for 57 years and my wife for 52. I'm glad to have my brother-in-law, my wife's brother, Bill, with us, and then my kissing cousin, Marge Hassey, and her mom and my dad came over from Europe together in 1923. And with 12 children in the family, they were the only two that got to come to America. It's good to have my son Todd and his wife Katie and our two grandkids, Brady and Paisley. And we appreciate them being here. And I'm glad you're here. Thank you for deciding to come today. Amen. All right. Well, of course, you know that this was not expected, this honor whatsoever. And it's very, very humbling. I don't know if I've said this to anybody. I don't know if I've said this to the church. I may have. But I'll tell you. You know, I'll be 74 next month, February 14. You know what February 14 is? No, it's Vapersand's Day. So you don't know the history of Valentine's Day. It started out as Vapersand's Day. And then folks couldn't spell it, and some other guy named Valentine, he took it over. But they still celebrate my birthday. I appreciate that. You know, balloons and candy and so forth. But, you know, the greatest desire of my life is to, when I meet my Savior, for him to say, "Well done, John. Well done." I don't feel like I've arrived yet whatsoever. I was telling Brother Ray, I'm very satisfied with what he's done for me, but I am not satisfied with what I've done for him. And by the way, Vapersand is an unusual name. I was thinking a moment ago, we have 9 of us in America. My dad and his sister Mary came, and then when she was married, her name was changed. And I'm the only child. I often say, you know, when they didn't have any more kids, and when you reach perfection, there's no need in having other children. I'm trying to remain humble, we have, of course, my dad's in heaven, mom's in heaven, but we have 4 Vapersand men in America. My oldest son, John, my son Todd, and John's son Preston. He's in his 20s, 25, I believe, and then of course me. And God has honored us in that all 4 of us are ordained Baptist preachers. And if I could tell you the story going back to my dad in Europe, but there isn't the time. I've mentioned it many, many times. But I'd like you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Psalms, chapter 40. Psalms chapter 40, and we're just going to look at one verse for the sake of time. Very, very short verse, verse 8. By the way, David... We believe, it is believed, that David wrote this psalm right after, soon after, Absalom was dead. Now, many of you know how he messed his life up, at least for a short time, with Bathsheba and Uriah. His adult children saw what happened, and his son Amnon attacked his half-sister Tamar, ruined her life, ruined his life. His half-brother Absalom determined that he was going to kill his brother because David did not punish him as far as we know, and he did. Absalom killed his brother Amnon, and then, of course, Absalom turned against David and fought against his dad, and then he was killed in battle. And we believe it was then that David wrote this psalm, and it's a tremendous psalm, but for sake of time, just look at one verse, verse 8. David said, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart. A key to your life, the rest of your life, will be those two parts of that one verse. I delight to do thy will, O God. Not just a matter of doing God's will, but I delight to do thy will. I love to be in your will. I love you. I thank you, dear God, from the depths of my heart for what you have done for me. I want to please you. I want to obey you. I want to honor you. And at the top of my list of what I want to do in life, I want to please my Heavenly Father. And then David said, yea, thy law is within my heart. Here's how to do it. Here's how to delight in him. Thy law is within my heart. Your word is within my heart. Folks, let me tell you, you've heard it all your life, but I'm telling you, this book will change your life. The words of God will change your life. It's not a light matter when you hear a preacher say, you've got to read your Bible. Read your Bible. Spend time with God. Pray. Fellowship with him. Walk with him. At the top of Brother Hiles' list of when he was asked advice, give me the number one advice that you'd give a preacher or any Christian, he would answer, walk with God. Walk with God. And I'm telling you, if you want to do the will of God, you've got to delight in doing the will of God, and it'll happen as you walk with him. I'm going to ask you who your favorite Bible character is. Any of you young men on the front row, you have a favorite Bible character? What would it be? Reach your hand. Yes, sir. Abraham. Are you Jew? No? Okay. Just curious. Yes, sir. Daniel. Okay, how about this? Yes, sir. Joseph. Okay. Many of us have a favorite Bible character, or if you thought about it for a while, maybe the first two or three would be on the list. You know, I checked this out. It's interesting. There are 3,000, get this, 3,237 different people listed in the Bible. Now, many of them have the same names, but 3,237 people. You know, the Bible is built around people. It's built around, we call them, Bible characters. Please understand this. Every Bible character that's mentioned in the Bible was as human as you are. They were not super aliens sent from outer space. They were like you. They were once your exact age. They were once children. They were teenagers. They struggled like you struggle. They had fears. They had failures. They had successes. They had difficulty in their life. They wept like you weep. And God used them. He used them. He used Abraham. He used Nehemiah. He used Noah and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Joseph, her husband, and Joseph in the Old Testament, and David, and Saul, and Solomon, and on, and Elijah, and Elisha. They were as human as you are. Understand that. I thrill over David's call. We believe he may have been an older teenager when he was called in from the shepherd's field. I mean, he was just a shepherd boy. Did he have higher education? Well, he walked with God. Amen. And he was a man after God's own heart. And God used that shepherd boy. And I marvel and I thrill over the fact that God called Moses at 80 years of age. Boy, that gives me great hope. I'm closer to 80 than I am in David's age. And it's amazing that God would use an 80-year-old shepherd from the backside of the desert who was there shepherding sheep for 40 years. Ladies and gentlemen, God had a plan for David. God had a plan for Moses. God had a plan for Nehemiah. God had a plan for Noah. God had a plan for Paul. God had a plan for Peter. God had a plan for John the Baptist. God had a plan for John the Baptist, or John the Apostle, and God has a plan for you. Listen, they did not see it, and you don't see it. and I didn't see it, but God has a marvelous plan for you in your life. You're no different than anybody else that was used of God. I recall when Brother Hiles came from Texas. My wife and I grew up in the church. And we were teenagers when Brother Hiles came. He was 32. I was 15. Linda was 13. And he went through some struggles. In fact, major struggles. He had no idea that he would come to First Baptist. He didn't want to come. He was pastoring the fastest growing church in America, the Miller Road Baptist Church in Texas. He said, I was Texas born and Texas bred, and when I die, I want to be Texas dead. He said, I didn't want to be buried in soot. Now, you don't know what that's like now, but some years ago with the oil refineries and the steel mills along the Lake Michigan shore, when the north wind blew, I grew up in the Hessville section of Hammond. And honestly, when the north, it could have been clear sky, but you could see the soot coming down. And when the north wind blew, when my mom had her clothes hanging out, she quickly took her clothes off the clothesline because they would have gotten dirtier after that than before she washed them. And he struggled. He didn't want to come to Hammond. He said, no, I'm not going to consider it. And finally, they said, well, would you pray about it? And he said, okay, I'll pray about it. And he was traveling one night from the Dallas, Texas area. I think he was going back home, going through Louisiana, and he recalled he was to pray about coming. He said, Lord, should I go to First Baptist Church in Hammond? He just happened to be going through Hammond, Louisiana. And there was a motel with flashing lights that said, Hammond welcomes you. Well, he thought about it, prayed about it, didn't want to go. He was preaching, I think, one of his first sword conferences in Lake Louise, Georgia. And on his way through the night, he traveled at night. He fell asleep as he was driving. He woke up just right behind a semi-truck. And when he woke up, the headlight shined on the back of the truck, Hammond, Indiana. He got to the conference grounds. Before he got out of the car, somebody called out, is Jack Hiles here? Is Jack Hiles here? Long distance call for Jack Hiles. By the way, at that time, the long distance call was a big deal. And he had his window down. He said, I'm Jack Hiles. They said, long distance call for you, sir. He said, let me guess, from Hammond, Indiana, right? And they said, yes. Dr. Jack Hiles was not planning to come to Hammond. He had no idea that he'd ever be in Hammond. He had no idea that he'd be the influence that he was throughout America and the world. Brother Young and I were with him in the Philippines at Brother Rick Martin's church. And during the pastor's conference, there are 900 preachers. Can you imagine? 900 preachers throughout the Philippines came to hear Brother Hiles. And Rick Martin said to these 900 preachers, many of them from the backwoods, I mean way, way back in the mountains, he said, who of you either get tapes from Brother Hiles, heard him preach already, or have books from Brother Hiles? I didn't see a hand that did not go up. That dear man, God bless him, Dr. Jack Hiles influenced the world. He didn't know it before it happened. He didn't know that he'd have a pastor's school that would fill that auditorium with 7,000 people for pastor's school. But God had a plan for him. Now I'm telling you, God has a plan for you. He's got a plan for you. He had a plan for Brother Wilkerson. Brother Wilkerson had no idea he'd be here. Dr. Ray Young, he had no idea that he'd be here. How about Brother Douglas? He had no idea that he'd be president of Hiles Anderson College. We had better hopes for Brother Collins. You know, God gave you life for a specific purpose. God is an organizer. He's a first-class organizer. He's a first-class creator. There's no better scientist than God. He's a mechanical engineer. And he's a planner. He planned this universe. Do you know what a galaxy is? A grouping of stars? You know, not too long ago, I read of an astronomer. I don't know if he's Christian or not, but he said, we have discovered so many stars and so many galaxies. He said, I believe there are as many stars in the universe as there are grains of sand on this earth. That boggles the mind. God did that. God created the galaxies, and now with this Hubble telescope up there, they've discovered, get this, hundreds of billions of galaxies, and each galaxy contains hundreds of billions of stars. There are some that contain over a trillion stars. This galaxy that we're in, our sun is one of the stars, contains between 200 billion and 400 billion stars. And now they are discovering that nearly every star has at least one planet, if not more than one planet. I mean, it's far beyond our comprehension. This is our God. And God planned all this. He planned when he would come. He planned his second coming. He's planned his rapture. He's down to the exact second that when he came as a little babe. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I marvel as I look back over my life and what God has done in my life. By the way, each one of you came from different backgrounds, some Christian homes, some not Christian homes, some really difficult situations, but every one of you are here. He brought you here. And I trust that every one of you are born again believers. Let me tell you this, his plans are bigger than yours. You have no idea. Have no idea of the great plans he has in store for you. But you have got to be what he wants you to be. As David said, I delight to do thy will, O God. Oh my God, I delight in it. I love it. I want to please you, my Heavenly Father. It was August the 7th of 1960. I was 16 years old. On that Sunday morning and Sunday evening, it was, by the way, it was just a month after the vote took place as to whether Brother Hiles would stay or not. The people that didn't want him to stay, they passed out petitions for people to sign. He got a hold of one of those petitions. Sign if you want Brother Hiles, Jack Hiles, to leave. He signed it. I mean, he had been here 1 year, and there were, I don't know how many churches from Texas contacted him. We want you to come to be our pastor. He wanted to go back to Texas too, but he knew that God had led him, and he won the vote. 400 people left First Baptist Church and started another church. And just about a month after that vote, and when the people left, Brother Hiles announced, this Tuesday, August the 9th, we're going to have our first teen soul winning. First Baptist Church, as far as I know, in its history, never had a soul winning program. He said, we're going to have a teen soul winning, and he said, I want your teens to come. There may have been 10 of us. I was 16. My dad had a 1953 Pontiac. It was green. It was rectangular. It looked like a tank. And it was good for me. That was supposed to be funny. And he said, all I want you to do is pass out tracts. Just take these tracts and pass them out. He said, anybody have a car? He said, I'm driving my dad's car, preacher. He said, okay, John. He said, you drive and five kids get in the car with John. Now, at that time, you could have three in the front, three in the back. And so five kids got in the car with me. And it just so happened, in the middle seat was a 14-year-old girl that I didn't know her name. Her name, I found out, was Linda Simpson. Right in the middle seat. I mean, There was a guy on the outside. I was driving, and she was right smack dab right there. I mean to tell you, we were shoulder to shoulder. You say, was there not an adult chaperone? Well, of course not. He could trust us. The next Sunday, the 14th, we, for the first time, the teenagers went to teen camp at the Bill Rice Ranch in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. I was not yet saved. I went forward when I was 12, got baptized, but I did not comprehend nor understand salvation until Brother Hiles came, then I understood it. But I still did not get saved. Paul Levine, have you ever heard of evangelist Paul Levine? He was preaching. And I'll tell you, while he was preaching that Monday night, August the 15th, I said, this is it, this is it. I couldn't wait till the invitation. I went down, I knelt about right here in that auditorium, a very crude auditorium back then, and no one worked with me, no one prayed with me, but I knew what to do. And as a teenage young man at 16 years of age, I wept. And I tell you what, since that day until this very moment, I have not had a doubt about my salvation. And I'll tell you why. Because I read this book. You see, the more you read this book, the more that you will be assured. Now, you'll never lose your salvation, but you can lose your assurance. I've never lost my assurance. I know that heaven is my eternal home. God had plans for John Vapersan. If you could know me, I used to be an accountant. Accountants tend to be quiet and back in a corner somewhere on their adding machines, looking at the ledger sheet. You see, back then, there were no computers. We had an abacus. Thank you for getting it. But when I got saved, this is what happened. I began to pray every day of my life, 16, 17. I mean every day. Dear God. In fact, I had just met Linda. And we started courting. After some time, went over to her home. And then we'd see each other at church and, of course, in youth activities and so forth. And I said, dear Lord, I want the wife that you want for me. I want to be the husband, if I'm to marry, I want to be the husband you want me to be. I want to be a good, godly husband. And I pray, Lord, that if you want me to marry, that I'll have a good, godly wife. I said, Lord, if you want Linda and I to marry, as we got through the months and the years, I said, it would be wonderful. But Lord, if you got somebody else for her, help her to be a godly wife. I pray that she'll have a good, godly husband. I prayed for my wife. I prayed for my children in earnest every day. I prayed for my future employment. I had no idea what I was going to be. I said, God, I'll be whatever you want me to be. And I meant it. Listen, folks, I can't tell you how deep down I meant what I prayed. And then I said, dear God, I know that most people do not go back to their home, their hometown. And Lord, I pray that you would please place me in the city or the town where you want me to live. And then, dear Lord, I know that if I'm in that town, I can't go to First Baptist. Brother Hiles would not be my pastor. But Lord, give me a church like First Baptist Church in Hammond. I prayed that earnestly. I said, Lord, I want to please you. I submit to you, I surrender to you, whatever you want of me, and I meant it with all of my heart. It was Christmas time. The only Christmas banquet I remember having the teenagers. We had a speaker that I'd never heard of before. I don't think any of us did. He was from Grace Baptist Church in Kankakee, Illinois. He was a pastor. His name was Wally Beebe. He later became the bus pastor, I think, for a while at First Baptist, and then he was known as Mr. Bus throughout America. And this was not like me. After the banquet, after he spoke, I went up to him. And I don't know why, but I started talking to him. And he said, John, what are you going to do when you graduate? I said, I'm thinking maybe military. I'm not sure. He said, John, you need to go to Christian college. He said, what are you interested in? I said, you know, I really enjoyed my bookkeeping class in high school here. And he said, boy, Bob Jones University has got a first-class business department. You ought to consider accounting. I can't explain this, but because I wanted God's will for my life, I wanted God's direction. He had a plan for me. I can't explain to you throughout my life. There's no time. But I knew at that very moment it was going to be Christian college. It was going to be at the accounting department. Lynn and I got married between our junior and senior year. We went back down there together. Because I took a double major, I went an extra semester. We were there a year and a half. And then it was time to interview with accounting firms. And they came to the college because they knew of the program there. And the biggest accounting firms in the world interviewed me, and they all offered me a job. We'll fly you to anywhere you want to fly. Would you like to locate in Paris? Do you want to locate in Rome? How about London? How about maybe New York? And I said, how about Chicago? They said, fine. We went to work with an accounting firm in Chicago. I worked there 5 years. We located in Riverdale, Illinois, right along the Illinois Central line. Walked 2 blocks to the Illinois Central commuter train, took it to downtown Chicago so I didn't have to drive, and we were only about 10 minutes from First Baptist. And there we anchored our family. I was going to be there the rest of my life under Brother Hiles. My children were going to be in the school. My wife was the very first secretary. Were you the first secretary of the grade school? She was one of the secretaries of the grade school, and she became the very first secretary of Hiles Anderson College before it opened. This was it. 27 years of age, I'm attending a wedding in New York of a cousin on a Saturday night. Sunday morning, we're in church, a Baptist church there. It was not our kind of church whatsoever. I was not familiar with the songs they sang, and then the preacher got up, and it was some kind of a social gospel, and I was brokenhearted. The people were there, and I said, Lord, this isn't right. I said, they're not getting the gospel. They're not getting the truth. There could be people here who need to be saved, and they're not getting a gospel message. Right then and there, for the only time that I've ever heard a voice in my mind that I knew it was God's, John, I want you to preach. I was not expecting it until that very second, 27 years old. It was the last thing I wanted to do, and it's the last thing I'm doing. I took speech class because I had to in high school. It was the most frightening experience of my life. We had to memorize a speech, and I memorized it, and I gave the first 2 sentences, and then I forgot. I forgot who I was, where I was, what was going on. The only thing that I could think was, God, stop my heart. Stop my heart. Mr. Hayes, my speech teacher, came up. It was just one-step platform. He literally got me by the elbow when we walked back to the school. Listen, I have jumped out of an airplane 10,000 feet just one time. That was enough. And I did not have a parachute on. You don't believe me? I'm telling you the truth. That was not as frightening as that speech class. I was strapped to the instructor. He had a parachute on. The time is not there to tell all I'd love to, but I was able to get in with Brother Hiles very, very quickly, and I said, preacher, God's called me to preach, and I'm burning up on the inside. And I was. I was burning up on the inside. It was something I cannot explain. The Holy Spirit was doing something to verify it. I mean, Malox or Tums, it was not indigestion. It was the Holy Spirit I felt like he was leaping. I knew it. I've never doubted his call to preach. Well, he said, John, In 11 months, Hiles Anderson will be opening up. He said, you just take the one-year pastor's refresher course. You've already been to Christian college. I've already had Bible every semester, grew up at First Baptist. I had the privilege of being a deacon, Sunday school teacher, and so forth. He said, just take the one-year course. Of course, I had to quit my accounting job. I went to work for Inland Steel as a night watchman. Worked from 9:30 at night till 5:30 in the morning. Went back to Riverdale, and would you like to know what I was doing for that 11 months? I was praying like I'd never prayed before. I was begging God like I'd never begged God before. I said, dear God, you know I can't do this. You know that I'm a speaker. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I know you called me to preach. 20 miles from Riverdale to Inland Steel on I-94. Interesting, our church building is right on Interstate 94 in Belleville. I was begging God all the times. I was weeping, could hardly see the road. Oh, dear God, it's got to be you. Holy Spirit, it's got to be you. It's not, no, it's not me. And then from Riverdale to the college that was at Baptist City at the time, same thing. About 6 to 7 weeks from graduation, I knew God wanted me to start a church, but I'd been praying, Lord, where? So one night, I took a map of the United States with me, and it just so happened that night was the only night that I had the administration building, that I had to be a night watchman, walk through the administration building, office after office after office. And through the night, I would open up that map and kneel over that map, and I'd go from Washington State and Oregon and then California, and I'd go across America and from Maine down to Florida. Lord, is it here? Is it here? Dear God, please show me. Oh, God, I've got to know where. 8 o'clock class. 9 o'clock, I had a study hall. Somebody came up to me and said, hey, John, there's a note on the bulletin board. It's got your name on it. I opened the note, and it was from Dr. Max Helton, Vice President, Dean of Men. He said, John, I need to see you at 9 o'clock, and it was 9. I went to his office. He said, sit down, John. I need to talk to you. He said, John, we've heard of an empty church building in Belleville, Michigan. Might be a good place to start a church. Did he have to say anything else? That was it. It's just amazing how God opens the doors. When you want to do the will of God, when you want to delight yourself in your God, when you want to please Him, He knows it. He knows who you are right now. And He knows who you are who are struggling with wanting to do the will of God, because you got your plans. And I'm telling you, God's plans are so much greater, so much better, with so many more rewards than your plans. Now, you may have some goals, but don't be surprised if God changes it. And I'll tell you, when you are doing the will of God and when you want to do the will of God the rest of your life, I can't express to you how wonderful it is. I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. For every one of you, He has a plan. There is no one exactly like you. And for that, maybe in some ways we can thank God. There are a few of you that are listening. I didn't see it coming. There's no time to express to you what God has done for me in almost 45 years of pastoring. There's no time for that. But oh my. I wish I could reach down in your heart, but the Holy Spirit wants to. Won't you let Him have your life? There's some here saying, I don't want to be here. I want to be doing my own thing. I got my own plans. I'm telling you, for almost 45 years of pastoring, I've seen what happens to people who do their own thing their own way. And it's tragic. Don't you think that God has a better plan than you've got for your life? He does a great job with His plans. I'd like to challenge you. Why don't you decide to give your life to Him? I mean, right down to the foundation of your Christian life, which is your Savior. Why don't you just decide, dear God, I surrender. Now, you've heard preaching. You've heard great preachers. But I'm begging you to consider the Holy Spirit tonight. You know what Jesus said? If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? He wants to give you his power. He wants to give you his love. He wants to give you his wisdom. He wants to give you his understanding. But it doesn't happen if you don't delight in him. If you obeyed your parents, you know your parents were more likely to reward you. You disobeyed your parents, you weren't going to get rewards. And that's the way it is with our Heavenly Father and his children. You're very familiar with Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee what? Great and mighty things. What's the next part? Which thou knowest not. You can't see it, but he does. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, the precious Holy Spirit. Let's stand together, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, I pray your blessing.